Hello. In today's message, we see the final healing that Jesus does in his ministry prior to his arrest in Jerusalem. And we see that the man that he heals is given a name, the only one who is named in the gospel according to Mark, blind Bartimaeus. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we look at this final healing that Jesus does on his way to Jerusalem, as we look at blind Bartimaeus, we see his cry for mercy. We pray that you would grant us wisdom to understand the things that are taught in the Word of God. And may we also imitate Bartimaeus in his crying out to the Lord for mercy and for help. Please forgive our sins and please bless our reading and hearing and understanding of your word this day. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God. I'm reading today from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46, down through the end of the chapter, verse 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his rich blessings to our reading and hearing and understanding of it today. Jesus has just answered the question of James and John by teaching them that true Christian leadership is servant leadership. And we see in the passage before us today an example that Jesus gives in his own life and his own ministry of what servant leadership is all about. Jesus and the disciples are continuing their final journey to Jerusalem. They had been traveling down on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and now they have crossed over, and they are joined by quite a number of other pilgrims. There's a large crowd that's traveling up to Jerusalem. Remember, they're on their way to the final Passover meal that Jesus will experience with his disciples. And so, because Passover was a pilgrimage festival, one of the three listed in the Old Testament, there are many pilgrims who are traveling up to Jerusalem, which is located on the top of the mountain. That's why you always go up when you go to Jerusalem. And so, Jesus and the disciples have crossed back over to the western bank of the Jordan River, and they have come to Jericho, and they've passed through Jericho, and on their way out, they have this encounter. Now, the Jericho that we're talking about here is not the Old Testament city of Jericho, the one whose walls fell down when Joshua and the Israelites marched around the walls and shouted, and then the walls collapsed. That city lay in ruins just slightly to the north of this location. This Jericho is the New Testament town of Jericho. It was rebuilt by Herod. It was built as the location for his winter palace, and it is located, Jericho itself is located in one of the richest oases in the entire area. So it's in a desert region, but there are many palm trees and there's a lot of vegetation here because of the location, because of the water that's found there. Jesus and the disciples have passed through the city. They are on their way up the road toward Jerusalem. And this particular road ascends up a wadi, which is a dry riverbed. And as they just leave the town, they encounter a blind beggar. And this man hears that Jesus is passing by. Mark tells us something about this man. He calls him blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. This is the only mention of a person who has been healed in the gospel according to Mark. It's only the only name given, Bartimaeus. He is mentioned here. Perhaps he's mentioned because he became something of a well-known follower of the Lord Jesus Christ after his healing and after the account that we read here in the gospel according to Mark. It may be that he's mentioned this way because he is known or known about in the city of Rome to the Roman Christians to whom Mark is addressing this letter. Now, because Mark is writing to Gentiles, he tells us something that's a little bit redundant. He calls him Bartimaeus, and then he says, the son of Timaeus. Well, actually, those two things mean exactly the same thing, because the word Bartimaeus literally means son of Timaeus. Bar is the Hebrew word for son of, as in bar mitzvah, son of the covenant. And so Bartimaeus literally means son of Timaeus. We would use the term Timaeus Jr. perhaps today to distinguish him from his father, Timaeus. And so Bartimaeus apparently is well known in the church, although we ourselves today in history do not know anything about him other than what is recorded in the Gospels. And so we know his name, we know that he was blind, and we know that he was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But perhaps because Mark mentions his name specifically in writing to the church at Rome, he had become well known in his day as a follower of Christ. Now, what do we know about him? We know that he is the son of Timaeus. We know that he is blind. And we know that he is poor and is a beggar. Of course, because he is blind, he's unable to work. And because he's unable to work, the only thing left for him to be able to do is to sit and beg. And so Bartimaeus spends his days along the road where the pilgrims will be going up to Jerusalem, begging for alms. That's all that he is able to do. He is forced to do this because of his situation of being unable to see. And therefore, he is a poor man, and he must seek help from others. Though Bartimaeus is poor, and though Bartimaeus is blind, he is not stupid. He has heard something of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's had an opportunity to sit. He's heard travelers pass back and forth on their way to Jerusalem. And he has apparently heard an account of Jesus of Nazareth. He has heard, as the crowds have passed by, that Jesus is the one who has performed miracles in Galilee, even healing a blind man. And so Bartimaeus had heard all of these things. He knew that Jesus had healed, and he also knew his scriptures quite well. He knew that healing the blind was one of the signs of the Messiah to come. In Isaiah 35, verses 4 and 5, we read this. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And so this prophecy of the Messiah to come included the opening of the eyes of the blind. And so Bartimaeus has put two and two together, and he has come up with the correct answer that Jesus is the Messiah and that this Messiah is indeed the son of David. Though he was blind, he knew his Old Testament scriptures quite well. And he knew that the Old Testament taught that the Messiah would come from the seed of David, as the promise was given in 2 Samuel chapter 7. God is speaking to David, and he says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And in Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it for judgment and for justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, Bartimaeus probably did not realize yet, did not know yet, what it meant for the son of David to also be David's Lord, as we read about in Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. But he must have believed that Jesus was the one who fulfilled the prophecies of the son of David. Jeremiah 23. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And Ezekiel 34, I will establish one shepherd over them and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And so this man has put two and two together. He knows the scriptures. He hears the crowd mentioning that the one passing by is this Jesus of Nazareth, about whom he had heard marvelous things. And so he begins to cry out aloud for the Savior. He cries to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, notice that he cries for mercy. Mercy is pity or compassion for someone who is in need. A cry for mercy does not come from an individual who thinks that he has some hold over someone else or that other person owes him anything at all. That would be a cry for justice or a cry for fair play. But instead, a cry for mercy comes from someone who knows that he has no claim on that other party. It's a cry of a spiritual beggar, in this case, a literal beggar. Someone who has nothing to offer to God. It's a cry for grace and for favor to be shown out of God's own pure grace and love, and not because God owes that individual anything at all. And so Bartimaeus does not presume to have any way to pressure Jesus to answer him. He appeals to Jesus as one who might show him undeserved kindness, undeserved favor, and meet his great need. The crowd doesn't like what's happening. The crowd, many in the crowd, try to silence Bartimaeus. Perhaps they are indignant that such an insignificant person as this poverty-stricken beggar would try to do anything to get the attention of such a great rabbi as Jesus. Or perhaps they think that this man should not interrupt Jesus. He's on an important mission. He's heading toward Jerusalem. Don't try to stop him. Or they may have been embarrassed that the loud cries of this beggar, Son of David, have mercy on me, would attract the attention of the authorities and might bring down some bad consequences on their heads from the authorities. And so they try to shut him up. Whatever the case is, many in the crowd tell Bartimaeus, shut up, be quiet, stop yelling. But instead of ignoring this man, Jesus stops and calls for him to come to him. Now remember, Jesus had set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. It was that fierce determination that both awed and terrified his own disciples as they followed after him. And yet, this one who is so determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his Father's will stops. He is a true servant leader, and he shows us what it is like for a servant leader. He cares for his own. He cares for his people. And so when this man calls to him, Son of David, have mercy on me, Jesus stops dead in his tracks and he tells his disciples to call this man to come to him. He takes the initiative and calls for Bartimaeus to come to his side. And notice the immediate change in the attitude of the crowd. They've been saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. And now they say, cheer up, he's calling for you. And so they give Bartimaeus this threefold encouragement. Be of good cheer, cheer up, instead of shut up. Rise or stand up on your feet, he is calling you. Now, it's one thing for you or me to call on the Lord, to call upon Jesus and ask for His help. It's quite another thing for Jesus to call us. And Jesus calls Bartimaeus. Immediately, what happens is Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and he runs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that cloak was something that he used to sleep in by night, and during the daytime he would take it off and he would fold it up into a cushion and sit on it as he sat beside the road. And so he throws off this cloak now so that his feet won't become tangled in it as he gets up and runs to Jesus. R.C. Sproul said in his commentary, that is precisely what everyone should do when Jesus approaches. They should throw aside whatever is hindering them, stand up, and run to Jesus. Now, this cloak was not anything spectacular. It was not out of the ordinary. It's not what one Word of Faith preacher said that I heard one time on television, that this was some special type of cloak that marked Bartimaeus out as a blind man. No, this was an ordinary cloak that a blind beggar would have in order to sleep in it like a sleeping bag at night, in order to put it around him when it rained or when it was cold, in order to sit on as a cushion as he sat by the roadside to beg. And so this is a regular poor man's garment, but to keep from stumbling over it, he casts it aside and he runs to Jesus. As Bartimaeus comes up to him, Jesus answers this coming to him by this man and ask him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Notice that this question is the very same question that Jesus had asked James and John when they said that they wanted him to do something for them. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, James and John had asked for prestige and for positions of authority. They had wanted to be the number one and number two people in Jesus' kingdom. Blind Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And so rather than asking for fame, rather than asking for importance, rather than asking for power, rather than asking for some type of position of authority in the kingdom of God, this blind man asked for something that most people already have, his sight. He asked the Lord to heal him so that he can see. Jesus is addressed by this man under the title Rabboni. Rabboni, he says. Now, that's a little different from rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. Rabboni means my teacher. It's a term of close personal relationship. It's the very term that's used by Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20 as she addresses Jesus in the garden on the Sunday morning of his resurrection when he encounters her. She calls him Rabboni, which means my Lord, my teacher, my master. And that's the same term that Bartimaeus uses here. It's a word, as I said, that it indicates a close personal relationship between the two. And in this case, Bartimaeus is addressing Jesus as the one who is close to his people, as the teacher of the way of righteousness, as the Savior, as the Messiah. And so he is associating himself in a bold way with Jesus as his Savior. It's an indication, just the use of this term is an indication of the fact that Bartimaeus is trusting in Jesus by faith, that he has faith, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one who is the personal Savior of sinners. And so this wonderful term of endearment, Rabboni, is what Bartimaeus blurts out. And his request is a simple request, that I might be able to see. Bartimaeus asks for sight, and Jesus immediately recognizes the faith of Bartimaeus, and Jesus immediately grants his request. Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Has made you well, has healed you, or has saved you. That's the term that's used here. And so he tells Bartimaeus that his faith has healed him, his faith has saved him. Not that faith is able to heal on its own in any way, but that this faith is in the only true object of faith, and that is Jesus Christ himself. It is the object of Bartimaeus' faith, the Lord Jesus, who does heal. And that's the case that we need to understand for all of us. It's not that faith alone, just having some faith in some nebulous who knows what can heal or can save, but it is the object of faith, Jesus Christ. He is the one who heals. He is the one who saves. And so he is the one who pronounces to Bartimaeus that his faith has healed him. His faith has saved him. It is faith that is itself a gift of God and that has been given to Bartimaeus by the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, who has regenerated Bartimaeus, who has enabled Bartimaeus to trust in Jesus as his Savior. And so Jesus pronounces him healed and saved. And that is exactly what happens. Jesus requests, Bartimaeus' request has been granted by Jesus. Bartimaeus is instantly able to see. And look what happened. Mark tells us, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Immediately. The healing takes place instantly. Jesus did not use mud as he had done before to heal a blind man. He simply pronounces him healed, and instantly Bartimaeus is able to see. Now, we don't know what had caused Bartimaeus' blindness. He may have been born blind. We don't know. He may have had an accident that caused him to go blind. He may have had cataracts that had filmed over so much he could not see. We have no idea what caused the blindness, but whatever cause there was, Jesus healed that instantly. If there was nerve damage, the nerves were regenerated. If there were cataracts, they were evaporated. Whatever it was that caused Bartimaeus' blindness is gone in an instant. Immediately he is able to see. And then Jesus tells him, go on your way. But Bartimaeus' way has been changed. Instead of turning around and going back into Jericho and telling all of the people there that he knew that he has now been able to see, healed and is now able to see because Jesus has healed him, instead he follows Jesus along the road. Instead of sitting by the wayside, now he follows Jesus along the way. He goes along with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is all an indication that Bartimaeus has become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, in Luke's gospel, when Luke records this healing, what Luke tells us is that as Bartimaeus followed along the way with the Lord Jesus and his disciples, he glorified God, and his giving glory to God caused others in the crowd to glorify God as well. That's true of every genuine disciple, that once we have been forgiven of our sins, once we have been healed of that spiritual blindness that kept us from seeing the Savior, and now we see Him and we begin to glorify God, God blesses those efforts at testimony, at those results of the faith that He Himself has given to us. And so Bartimaeus is acting like any new disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to act. He is glorifying God. He is following the Lord Jesus Christ. He is joyful because not only is he able to see, but his sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. And others hear that, and others also join together in glorifying God through the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so what we see in conclusion here is a man who asks a simple thing from the Savior. He asks for his sight, and he receives his sight from the Lord Jesus Christ along with salvation. And we see here a Savior who is never too busy to stop and to attend to the needs and to the cries of his people. And so what we see here pictured is Jesus showing us what genuine servant leadership is all about. Though he is on his way to save his people by dying on the cross, He is not too busy to stop and to attend to the needs of one particular sheep of His. He stops as the good shepherd, and He heals this blind man, His sheep. Bartimaeus shows us here what it is to have genuine faith and commitment to the Savior. He goes along with Jesus. He begins to follow Jesus, and he begins to glorify God for Jesus, his Savior. So how about you, friend? If you're watching or listening today, how about you? Do you know this Savior who stops to talk with the most insignificant of men, the one who shows mercy and grace to his people? If you do not, then turn from your sins today in repentance and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Son of David, the one who is the Messiah, the one who is ruling and reigning and shall come as the judge of the living and the dead at the last day. He is the Messiah. He is the only Savior of sinners, and you must trust in Him. Trust in Him today if you never have before. Flee to Jesus and find that wonderful blessing from the one who stops and who talks to you and meets your need. Trust Him today. Amen.